Zippity doo. How are you?
Zippity-doo. Ooh, rhyming. All right, good. No complaints.
Didn't rhyme. Good.
I'm not much of a rapper, sorry.
Damn it. My daughter freestyles under her breath sometimes, just makes up little rhymes. And Laura dobbed me into her recently. She's like, Papa used to rap. There's a CD on the shelf somewhere if you can find it. I was like, no, don't go digging that up.
Oh, now I'm gonna have to find it. I'm gonna talk to Laura on the side here. We're gonna need that.
No, you really don't. No one needs that in their life.
I don't
Little industrial design students
know. Things get weird,
making beats in their bedroom.
yeah.
Yeah. How's your to-do list?
The thing that I was kind of deep into today was, I think, oh God, sometime in the last week, I got a message email from Freshdesk, the thing that I use for our support ticketing and all that stuff and all of our documentation. I mean, I started using it for NAC, like I want to say it's 2013. They've always had this amazing free plan, which has changed over the years. They've lessened it, but apparently I missed some email that said you now only get 6 months of free and you have to start paying for it. So
Uh-oh.
that's not the end of the world. However, they haven't updated Freshdesk since I want to say 2015. It is very dated. It is not contemporary in any sense. They haven't thought about AI features. Maybe there's something coming, but it's been on my mind of like, I don't really want to pay for this if I ever have to. So I've started the arduous journey of looking at migrating to something else, and I don't even know how many articles we have, but articles and then can, like, they're called canned responses, but it's like things we save to send to people that we, commonly have to send to people. And
So,
so it's just a pretty involved
I know you love
thing.
a good app. You're a sucker for an app.
Yes. Yep.
What does it do that email doesn't? Or I understand you can
Oh, a
publish
lot,
articles. Like,
yeah.
you got public facing and internally facing articles in there. Like, is that where you go? Where you're like, is that where Ricky would go to reference like how to do the thing with the thing? Yeah, okay.
Yep. It's a, I'd say it's like a, people might call it a wiki.
Okay.
So anything that's, I mean, the big thing to me that makes so much sense about this kind of tool is it's a shared inbox, which you can obviously do with like other email tools, but then anything that's an article or docs, documentation can be used both as a link or as put like inserted content into an email to a customer.
Yeah, nice.
So like best practices, your guides, you can attach files, you can put videos in there, like and so I'm not looking through Google Drive to go find a PDF of how to install a dust boot thing, or it's just the place for everything. So
Cool.
yeah,
So
there's a lot of
just
better features now and other things, and Freshdesk is
okay.
just kind of dated.
I was gonna ask, like, you're gonna stick around and pay for it, or just try and migrate it all?
It'd probably be the easy answer, but like, I mean, just the simple, like, we use like a chat tool called Talk, TAWK, because Freshdesk has a separate product that's like website chat called Fresh Chat, and you have to pay for that separately too. And so I have something, just competing features, and it's like, well, in the future, better feature, better versions of this, better different software, it's all integrated, right? Like you go to a website and most people end up using Intercom. It's like the expensive one. It's like $70 a user a month or something like that minimum. And that's all an integrated service where it's like you're chatting, then you're emailing, and
yeah.
Like it's all kind of one thing. So I don't know. This is basically, I just feel like this is all I do anymore is migrate software around. It's a very messy.
Can you get everything you need out of it? Is there an export migration
function? That's what I was just looking at. They have a migration tool. Copying the documents is fairly straightforward. It's
okay.
I look at the HTML from the original one and paste it into the new one. So I could theoretically pay somebody to probably do this. But you know, it's just that always that big decision. I feel like is like, so how long am I going to stick with the new one, and is it going to be the right choice? And I don't know how you choose those kind of decisions when software and things are constantly changing anyway. Like,
yep, don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's my
get back to the mill and make some money.
New one. Yeah, right. It's running right now. It's making pedestal parts.
Good. Nice.
How about you? What's up?
It's Friday morning. I will pack the traditional Friday morning van in about an hour. Although I have to finish a little job. Jem designed himself into a hole, as he likes to do. And so there's a job that needs a little bit of touchy-feely gem time just before it goes out the door. But I had some good ideas, actually. One of the issues with kidder parts of adding doors and drawers is that we've added effectively like trade, you know, cabinet-making hardware into the system.
Yeah.
Which right. is nice. If you know how to tune it. But it's a bit of a hurdle to expect a regular domestic customer to be able to watch a video and then tune a hopefully draw slide and even just cabinet hinges. Like, I think, you know, it's a nice skill to have, but it's a lot to expect at times. And I think what happens a lot of the times, people just don't tune their drawers and doors and they end up like a little bit shit. Which doesn't reflect well on the product. Anyway, I designed this thing, custom kit of arch, which has got 19-inch rack mount in it for like this guy's servers, home servers. I'm discovering more and more people have server racks at home. slightly jealous. And
I don't quite, but
I designed this thing, which has got 19-inch rack mounts in it. And anyway, it's lots of little details. It was a classic thing where I just quoted. I was like, oh, that'll work. I drew it. Yeah, that's fine. And then when it came to actually making it, it's like, oh, actually, that doesn't really work. And the hinges aren't going to work. And they're going to clash with the rack mount. And Ben and I workshopped a whole new solution for hinge doors and kidder parts, which is actually potentially a way better way of doing it, much simpler. Not using off-the-shelf cabinet hinges, but just making our own little pivot parts that actually just pivot off the dowel. So, yeah, got to fine-tune that, mount the racking for the server rack and get it packed up and out the door. But otherwise, I don't know, good week. You know, may as well just have the bank balance, like, in e-ink on the side of my head or something, like a little badge.
Be on a wrist.
E-ink, yeah, a little e-ink badge.
Get an e-ink display that just shines through your skin.
Yeah, nice.
That'd be sick.
That'd be cool, yeah. That's about how embedded my mood is, or how well linked it is to the bank balance. It may as well be under my skin. The last 2 weeks have been positive, good cash flow, finishing jobs, winning some decent jobs. So feeling pretty positive about things.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
Shockingly.
I was kind of rehashing that thing with some friends and considering a few fairly sizable, not changes, machine purchase thoughts or selling and purchasing. Like I keep talking about the mill, whether it's, you know, leaning towards getting rid of it, getting something different, and what space means for us going forward. And so just kind of thinking through those, and my friends were like, I was talking to her like, yeah, weren't you just freaking out a couple months ago because things were so slow? And I was like, yeah, we had this fluke March, but literally every other part of the year has been amazing so far, like business-wise. So I don't know what to say about that other than it was a weird month. Maybe just it was kind of the lull point of the adjustment to the new dictator. I don't know.
I was going to say, wasn't March kind of like the month where lots of nonsense happened in terms of tariffs and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still happening, but I feel like most people are now just kind of like, I don't know, we're going to look away from this chaos happening on the East Coast. But yeah, it's gone well. Products are selling well. Job shop stuff's going well. It's like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen next? But
yeah,
gotta keep moving on.
Yeah, similar here. March was better. What month are we in? Sorry, not March was better. March. Bleh, I've lost track of what
May. April.
May. Thank you. It's almost the middle of the year. Things have picked up here too. Feels more optimistic. I've noticed like old leads from a year ago reopening quotes and quotient and like coming back to expired quotes and like follow up with them, and you know, people sort of coming out of the swamp a little bit, which is nice to see.
Right.
And also I'm just more open to like taking any work we can get at the moment. Like I had an inquiry for another 3D surfacing job yesterday.
Oh.
And using my new like higher hourly rate formula that I'd come up with a week ago after doing the Eagle job, I just threw those numbers at it. And he was like, yep, budget looks good.
You mean?
No worries. Maybe Velcromat might do the dance with the dirty Velcromat, which I kind of secretly love that material. Do you know it?
It's like MDF.
It is MDF, but it's colored all the way through.
Oh yeah, you have two.
I've done a few little machining jobs with it in the past. It's quite nice to work with.
Is that why you're looking for dust boot accessories?
No, it wasn't actually.
Keep it contained.
I was looking at dust boot accessories for that acoustic product we used to cut. Had an inquiry about that, and I was chatting to John about how we can better if we were to machine that sort of product again, how we would contain the dust better. I was telling him about how you had a slimmer thing these days. So I went on a little Google journey to find it.
Yeah. Which was, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how many people have done that for you. It's very painful to watch somebody else try something and fail at your website or whatever you've made. And Jim did a little walkthrough of like, I'm trying to find this thing in your website and I can't find it. And it's like,
oh my God, I really need dust boot. Like,
that was the other thing I've been working on this morning, basically, was just whacking away at migrating Squarespace to Shopify. So I killed the quote page and a digital file page. And I just like migrating as much as I can. It's not perfect from each page. And then making a redirect on Squarespace. So you won't even land there anymore on that page. It's just popping over to Shopify. For some reason, the Squarespace sites are just like horrendously slow. Like even locally here, like,
interesting.
Feels like it takes 5 seconds to make every page load.
Well, that's the first time I've Googled your name and been served an ad. Interesting.
Heyo. I did do some advertising for Australia for a while. I don't. Like, apparently, it's still happening.
Apparently. I won't click on that. I'll save you the 30 cents.
$2.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty expensive.
Cool. Good one.
All right. So I've been wondering since we can't have private conversations anymore, what did thou think on the Henry Holsters tour?
Okay. So Justin sent me the link to the Henry Holsters tour by Audacity Micro. Good video. Yeah. I watched it, fell asleep to it. Not because I was bored.
I was kind of laying in bed to that too. Yeah.
It was late. Anyway, Justin was trying to quiz me the other day over text messages.
Like, I hear this.
I know. what I thought of it. And I said I'd leave my thoughts for the podcast because we don't talk anymore. We just has to be recording. Yeah.
He wouldn't tell me privately.
I got a lot out of it. Found it, I don't know, kind of intimidating, sort of like, how does someone, it's kind of like watching the random routing guy too. I kind of want the behind the scenes of one of these videos of like, okay, so when are you actually doing this stuff? And I know they have dedicated like lean time and they've got the lean station in the shop where anyone can go to do a lean improvement. But it was just, it was so like to my Australian eyes and ears, that video was so...
They're very different.
So American to me.
Oh, interesting.
In a sort of, not in a
Japanese
way. And I just found it a bit like sort of just like enforcer lean, like we're going to shove lean down your throat. And like I was looking at the employees in the video, kind of wondering how into this are you? Like I know you're sort of part of this workplace culture. Like, yeah, I suppose I would have loved to have had one of the staff talk about it maybe. Yep. So it just felt very sort of top down, sort of heavy handed. And having tried to implement lean stuff in the past and basically I'm going to say failed to do so, failed to get buy-in, failed to just execute, you know, on a regular enough basis to actually make an impact. I don't know. I just, yeah. Awesome, incredible setup, some awesome ideas in there. I sort of question the point at which lean becomes almost like inhumane in a workplace.
You sound like an artist a little bit. Like,
it's a bit of an artist
take
reaction.
Away my process.
It is a little bit of a sort of artist reaction, I think, of like, yeah. What did you get out of it?
I don't have a fully, I mean, I would assume that Mr. Henry didn't request this to be done, right? Like, AJ was probably saying, hey, it'd be cool if I want to come visit. Maybe I film a tour. It's just my guess on how it went. And, I think there's definitely a big culture around, I mean, I've done a few of these for myself, but also Autodesk did one where the lean culture is to share what you've created, I think. And I don't know, I was talking with another friend about it and them having kind of this like, and I have these feelings too often where I'm like either, oh my God, I can't wait to see this, or the opposite, like I'm feeling bad about myself not being as creative or organized or whatever the thing is that I'm going to watch they're doing very well. And I like recoil from it and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be like proselytized to or like made to feel worse indirectly, right? Like not their fault, but just that everything's so great that I'm watching that it makes what I'm doing feel lesser. And, you know, that's a very personal like saying that I think maybe it's just me, but I would call this like efficiency porn in a certain sense. I'm kind of all about that. Like, I really enjoyed 95% of it and came away from it thinking through I think maybe the most impactful thing for me was SMED, which I think I'd heard the word before, but they kind of glanced, jumped through it pretty quick. And at the beginning, I think Andrew was like, oh yeah, SMED was pretty impactful for me. That was a great book. Mm. And then in the comments of the video, other people asked about it. And it's this concept by a consultant for Toyota in, I think, the 70s. And I believe his name is Shingo. I'm going to get it wrong.
Shingo, yeah.
Shingo. There is an interesting Wikipedia little tidbit about this where the guy claims to have invented SMED, the single minute exchange of dies, which if you know anything about lean or like the Toyota ways, all the big examples around exchanging dies or moving dies for stamping presses, which are a huge part of making like a fender of a car. A giant metal thing smashes sheet metal into a shape. And they used to take like a full day, and they got it down to like 12 hours, then it was 3 hours. And then this Shingo person claims to have been challenged and got it down to like 3 minutes or something like that. Change these giant dies. And so write a book about it. So strangely enough, I can't find an audiobook version of this. It's only in reading form. And so I've been falling asleep reading little bits of it and getting almost nowhere so far. But that was the thing that kind of rocked my mind was, and in relationship to a huge part of what I think we can do better here, especially for our products, about changeover between like making ATC forks versus something else on the router, and that taking literally like half a day for us to set up and start running those. Sometimes it's like a full day before they're good parts. And so Ricky and I talked about that afterwards, like, all right, well, this is silly. It's not exchanging a multi-ton stamping press. It's a little pallet that I made that somehow we can't get to set up well and quickly. So like, how do you do that? And there were so many examples through this tour of ways that they've made setups in because they make a lot of different parts for holsters for guns, and so they're constantly needing to change those things over. And maybe the underlying subtext is like the person designing these things doesn't always is often probably not the person running them making the parts, and the person running them might not have the skill set to design the system. So it's like, as the owner and the designer of products and things, I'm thinking like, all right, I can make a lot of these things happen better and faster. And that's going to be a huge unlock for like not having a day wasted every time we need to run the same product.
I really like some of the setup stuff, just the use of 3D printing for just those simple little fixtures. One of the ones I found most attractive actually was the sewing stuff, because I've done a fair bit of sewing.
Yeah.
And it's can be such a frustrating process. And seeing just like the little 3D printed foot that clipped onto the guard of the sewer to help guide in the beading. And like, there's some really, really smart, inspiring stuff in there. And I understand, you know, you watch bigger shop tours who are like fully lean implemented, and they've got like a lean officer and like someone whose job it is to go around and
either sort
of make these improvements or at least sort of empower others to make these improvements. And I can totally see how that sort of would work, because not everyone's wired to do that. Like, to think in that way, to actually execute on those ideas, you need a certain skill set or a team of people who can help you execute on that skill set. And yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I definitely have a sense of like failure as well, of like watch a shop tour like that, think about what I've tried to implement in the past, think about the state of our current shop now, and just be like, nah, that makes me feel crap.
It is the most common reaction, because I shared this with a bunch of friends because I was inspired by it and liked a lot of it. And a lot of them were like, I don't know, when do you have time for this? You know, like, when, how do you do this? And I definitely have that feeling too of like, there's so many things. Like Ricky was out yesterday and I was running the mill.
Hey, Hunter, girl,
come here.
Oof. Hunter's here.
Running the mill.
Half the time, for me, I just have to get away from my damn desk. And since watching that now, I've been very inspired to like, oh, there's all these things in the mill room that I want to fix and that are messy. And then there was a decent amount around their shipping area that I was like taking some inspiration from too. Of that is one thing that has just innumerable variation for us in terms of like we could be shipping an end mill, or we could ship like a motor, or we can ship a set of cabinets. You know, like there's a giant variation, and standardizing it's pretty difficult, so there's still a lot to be figured out. But also there's just like, when I have the packing slip, where the hell does it go? Oh, I put it on top of the keyboard, then I can't hit the keyboard. And it's like following through those little things of like, well, I'm gonna get a little receipt thing, so my paper sticks up here. And just hit, you know, AJ asked and Andrew during it, like, well, you know, this is pretty overwhelming, I'm sure, for some people. Where do you suggest people start? And I think the most common one is the 2-second lean concept, where it's like, just do something that you find frustrating and fix it beginning of the day when you're in the middle of it. And that doesn't solve everything, but it's a good start. And then otherwise it's like you and I, the owners, the people that aren't making the products, usually they're the ones that have to usually make the bigger changes and like the effort towards, we're going to move the mill and turn it so that there's less wasted motion and stuff like that, usually.
Yeah. I mean, I need to be more excited about this stuff. if we're going to move shop like into a space that's a quarter of the size, this is the kind of shit I should be watching and getting excited about every night, because I need to basically make our space way more efficient and our operations tighter, leaner, more multi-purpose, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like, but
maybe it's a branding thing. I do think every time I bring up lean with other people, it is, I always feel like I have to caveat it, like, okay, don't think about it as this big corporate thing. Think about it as like, I just want to do my job better and be more comfortable doing it.
Sweet.
Like that's, I think if I take it away from the like this branded thing. Also, if you coin it as it's Japanese, not American, not Western, not, it's usually responded better to. Like, think about all the great Japanese things there are in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
All right, other highlights I thought were really cool. The Nord, this has been talked about a lot, the no door like pallet changing brother machines.
Yep.
Where they had like the smart spray hose dangling above the parts, so you could just squeeze it where it was. And then they had like, because they don't use coolant, there's no exchange of that problem. So then when the pallet changer flips around, it just has a light curtain so you can put your hands in and not have to open a door 100 times a day, which I've heard that one before that they've talked about. I like the lean station a lot, where it's just like a bunch of stuff instead of like my label printer here and like label printer out there and all these different places, instead of it just being like accessible for anybody to go use, and you know, markers and tape and little stuff like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
My dog is losing her mind
right now. Oh, Katie.
I must have to go outside. Do you have to go potty? Can you wait, please? In the middle of something, you?
Yo.
I think ultimately, too, my last thought is I just love watching shop tours. Like, it could be a shitty, messy place or like a really organized place. And I just kind of have this like voyeurism of like, oh, this is fun. Oh, let me show me that corner same. Over there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Take me over there, please. Take me to the messy corner.
Yeah,
me too. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, I pushed out my little visit to Twig and Bot. Hopefully next week we'll get there.
Yeah.
I'd love to get there with John. Go there together, check things out. But your SMED, whatever that single minute exchange of dies book reminded me.
Yes.
I had a bit of a win during the week discovering. Well, no, I knew about it. I used Notebook LM for the first time, which is that Google thing where you can dump in as many notes and sources as you want. And it generates a podcast from it, which sounds kind of naff. It's bloody fantastic for certain things. As you know, I've been like trying to learn rapid code to program these ABBs.
Oh, interesting.
Those, you know, 1,700 page rapid documentation PDFs from ABB. I dumped in about 2,000 pages of rapid documentation and hit generate, and then just added a little note in the prompt saying, sculpt the output of this for me and John, who are, you know, experienced CNC operators, well versed in G code, but new to ABB rapid.
Yep.
And it produced a, 15 minute podcast, which was good and useful. Yeah. And it was just a different way to absorb the information. I could just listen to it while I was doing jobs in Rhino. It was nice to not have to read and just be, you know, let the information wash over. And it's like, it was quite a convincing conversation between two co-hosts talking back and forth about rapid code and exploring different ideas. But new feature in there is you can join the conversation, so you can interrupt them and inject questions. And then they will tangent off and answer your question, talk about that, and then come back to the kind of the main show and continue talking. So it's kind of every time you open up and hit play, it's kind of the same podcast every time. But if you go into this interactive mode, you can interrupt them immediately and redivert their attention to a different. And I just found it super useful. So I started using it for a few things this week other than the rapid stuff.
Wild.
I put in like all the documentation from the two companies that are quoting our solar system for the new shed, and then generated a podcast, you know, talking about the difference of these two quotes and the pros and cons of each approach. There's another one I made. It's just, it's just a different way to absorb information. I'm excited about it. It's like, it's great.
It's interesting. I also looked into it this week because I was like, there's so many damn AI tools out there. I want to learn about SMED.
Yeah, nice.
Sounds like a venereal disease. And
Justin's there's just got a case of the SMED.
I've got this. I would love to get SMED. There's just no audiobook, which is just kind of mind-blowing to me. And it's also not a cheap book to buy. I think it's $40 or something like that for a digital copy. I was like, whatever, that's fine. But I would prefer to listen to it because like half the time I'm like driving home and I'm like, God, I would really like to be listening or reading that book right now, but I'm not going to read while I'm driving. So
yeah.
I was like, there's got to be a tool. Can Notebook LLM do this for me? And it's specifically said, like, no, it doesn't convert speech to, or text to speech. And I was like, all right. And I'm sure there's, like, licensing problems with having any tool do this. But as of right now, don't have a way to do it. So
Okay.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have just some good on phone text to speech converter, because I often do the same thing of like, can you, I'd see, like, I'd have to trick Siri into reading stuff to me. Like, I'll just copy and paste a slab of text into the Notes app and then say,
oh,
Siri, read my most recent note. And she'll go, oh, okay, you mean this one? Cool. And then read it out in full. But not particularly convenient.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, different way of, you know, I've been doing so much reading about this stuff. It was just really nice to have it switch to a different format of listening.
Right.
Different way to absorb things. So
it's interesting. So what's, can you use it to have, you know, you got to trust the AI in this case. Like, what if you don't have good source material and you want a story or a podcast about topics? Like, I want to learn about CNC lathes and, like,
yeah,
the brands and which ones they're known for. And, like, can it generate that by its own history, or do I have to give it, like, 10 companies PDFs?
I think it's designed to take your, what the notes you've amassed, yeah, like to use it as a research tool, basically. I haven't tried it on sort of content that's not in there, like how good its general knowledge is. Obviously, it's some sort of LLM in the background, so it must have some general knowledge. But I think the idea is that you give it all the content and then it references that.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
How's your chatter sync? What, did you get any progress on that?
I got it working. I tried it on both machines just out of curiosity. So the pencil sharpener worked well. So the Maso control, it's, you know, loaded the USB drive of the chatter. I ran files directly off it, which is how that Maso control works. It doesn't have its own inbuilt storage.
Cool.
It's only the USB storage. And that worked. And then I switched it to the Multicam Trinity, the newer Multicam, and that worked as well. It was a little bit more finicky getting it to mount on the Multicam, but it did mount. And then I was like, cool, that works, but I don't actually have an immediate use case. So I unplugged it, put it on John's desk, and walked away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like, it sort of comes back to the lean thing. Like, I'm not really on the floor. I'm not experiencing the problem, except when John was away. I'm not experiencing the day-to-day problems and workflow that John does.
Yep.
And, you know, it could be a useful little tool to just have on hand and plug in when we have some sort of networking problem, although that would knock out the chatter as well. But if there's something that was not working and we needed to run USB rather than Ethernet on one of the machines, and I don't know, it's a tool in the toolbox.
Yeah.
It's more than anything, it's just got me over my aversion to Raspberry, my fear of Raspberry Pis and flashing small
kind of the same for me.
So yeah, it feels good.
It's cool that it just works with Maso like that. Like, that's a, I feel like that, I'm sure other people have tried it, but it's nice.
So yeah, John came back this week, you know, did the right sacrifices for the machines. The pencil sharpener seems to have been happy. We got Cameron back online finally together. So the old secondhand 4 gig flash card came in the mail. We flashed it, and
how much did Cameron, that cost?
Cameron booted up. $35.
Oh, that's not bad. That's like,
Cameron's back online, which is good. Just in time, actually, because we needed to machine some aluminium. And Cameron's got the mister, so which is good. And I bought a laser engraver, a little one, baby, finally.
What are we looking at? What's like a little handheld situation?
Yeah, a little handheld.
I don't even know how that's interesting. Tattoos.
Staff tattoos. That's right.
Come on over here.
For like butter, light up. So yeah, because of that new legislation.
We're now a lean cult.
SMED. The cult of SMED. Because we're because of that new those new laws about shelf safety, anti-tip, blah, blah, blah. As soon as that arrives, I will start laser engraving that warning on the bottom of a Kid Apart shelf.
Did you just bake me? Oh, my God. This is amazing. Jim just made me as a Lego creature with a SMED shirt on. What was that from? GPT?
Yeah.
Jesus. So good.
I didn't even match the t-shirt color.
I got really distracted.
I was distracted too because I was waiting for you to see the image come through in Slack. What was I talking about? Yeah, laser. Coming Monday.
You haven't been
probably
listening for the last half an hour, have you? Just working on this image. Laser. What's it
lasers
called?
Lasers are coming. I got the Laser Pecker 2.
Oh, well, I was going to make a joke about that.
Laser Pecker. Yeah, I was at a friend's shop and I noticed they had one. Asked them what it was like. They like it. I was like, cool, that's enough of a recommendation for me. Thank you. I was going to get the X-Tool S10 or whatever it's called. S1. Which is one of more an enclosed design, but the dimensions of it were just tiny bit too tight for like a standard Kid Apart shelf. So, would have preferred an enclosed one, I think. But yeah, this one will be fine for what we need. You know, we could finally add some product branding to some of our products again. That'd be novel, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sorry, I'll have to watch that later.
Oh, you sweaty, sending me movies.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Check it out. Yeah. We'll see. I'll show you.
Yeah. We officially have a distributor for products. Korean one.
What?
For your products? Buying a decent amount of... Yeah, a decent amount of tool bulk products. And then... After the first order, they were like, hey, this is great. Can I be a distributor? And I was like, yeah, yes. I think we've had a couple wholesale orders, but they're, you know, not turned into like whatever that means. And in no way am I going to turn into a distributor model. Like, I still fully believe in direct sales, but I would say that things like outside the country or even just like local sales, it is nice sometimes to have the option to buy something locally and have it, you know, bulk sent somewhere, and then you can pick it up quicker locally. So made a little form, an Airtable form for future signups, and then I've yet to build out, I mean, since it's just the one, but make a little page where it's like, here's where you can buy products, and then do you want to be a distributor? So
cool.
Yeah, interesting. Something I've been wanting with those tool tags specifically, because they seem like such a good product to be distributed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Is that so? What are the products that you, is it just that initially?
They bought specifically 1 to 25 HSK or Cat 40 tool tag towers. And then, like, it's weird, but the Cat 40, HSK 63 are the same tool tag. the orange ones we saw. Yeah. So that they bought a lot of those to sell there.
Okay.
But that's been my plan for a long time, is if I can get it ramped up enough, I would like to start, I've said this before, but injection molding them and then selling them through distributors or wholesale as well.
Where are you at with your injection molding thoughts?
Trying to ramp up. I want to get to a place where like the monthly sales make such an obvious sense that we need to expand beyond printing. Because it's still, even with the cheap desktop one that I want to get, I think I've said that here, right? Like there's this brand called APSX and they make one called the PIM, P-I-M, and I think it's $13,000, $14,000. And it's an automated injection molder, and we can pretty easily make the mold tools ourselves. They're like 4x6, so I can fit a couple on each one. The things, I mean, there's a lot I don't understand about it, but like, I think the coloration of the plastic is something I don't fully get, and like how to buy it. But I've watched enough videos that I feel pretty confident I could easily make the mold tools because they're not complicated. That's pretty good. I like my new profile photo. So anyway, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, you could make your own tooling on the mill, right?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah. I've talked to Eric Larson about it, too, since he's deep into that. And
yeah.
What doesn't make sense, I mean, in talking with him, even with a good deal he was offering, the cost up front when you don't have the scale for something, for a mold like that, is just kind of, it's just super, like, it would make the parts be so expensive if you amortized it that like it would just, like, there would be no point, right? Like if I can't bring it in house and do that myself, I don't see currently a scale where I'm gonna get to that in the next probably 3 years, unless there's some gangbuster situation I don't understand. But anyway.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, you know, I was trained as an industrial designer to design injection molded parts. So, you know, it's one of the few things we learn about in terms of manufacturing processes at uni. So it's funny to have sort of this like weird low level baked in knowledge about that process, which I'll probably never use. I find it fascinating. Like that, circling back to Lean and Fastcat, Paul Akers with his 2 minute lean, like I always found that fascinating watching the Fastcat videos and seeing all their like injection molders pumping away, like in house. Right. Production of little widgets and parts, right. And it's like, dang, that's pretty impressive.
Right.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Plus my grandfather had a vacuum molding business. So I've kind of got plastic manufacturing in my in my blood.
Gross.
Gross. My microplastics, please. Get them in me.
Yeah.
I'm celebrating my Shopify invoices looking normal again after Vividworks subscription finally is in the past.
Oh, cheers.
Cha-ching. Saw the most recent one come in. I was like, $44. Oh, thank.
Instead of add a few zeros.
That looks healthier.
Cool.
Overall, big win. More people using my new builder. More people commenting on how much they like using it, despite all its little bugs and quirks. I have been working this week on some bug fixes, including bringing add to cart functionality to the table.
Still crossed out on my version.
Still, yeah, I haven't gone live with that. It's on another URL at the moment, just in testing. But yeah, it's a win. It's a vibe coding win. I was at the school autumn fair for my kids' school on the weekend. I ran into the one person I know in this town who I know is a developer, and a real one. As in, he's a React developer, and last time we were at a Christmas party or something together. No, not a vibe coder at all. Last time we were chatting about vibe coding and stuff, and then I caught up with him on the weekend briefly at this thing. He was like, "Oh yeah, I've been using Cursor all week." Like, yes, come on. And he said he had a great time.
One of us. One of us.
With his, years of experience, he can he's very good at directing it to do exactly what he wants and can get good results out of it. So, yeah, it makes sense. Cool. Smash on. Let's have a vibe coding party one day.
Right now. Yeah. Text gem for design advice. Ho ho. Popped up in my text messages.
I could autofill something inappropriate into that just for you.
Yes. Yeah, you could. It's specifically like the if I click it.
Yeah, only if your IP address clicks on it. Yeah. That'd be cool. I don't know, man. What else?
What else?
What's the best part of owning a business?
Yeah, I've had that thought for a while, but finally into some kind of stability with our childcare during the days that we work, weekdays. And I had this realization, and I think you've probably had something similar, and maybe most parents, but still somewhat new to me. But even if I don't make a lot of money, I think it is incredibly valuable to be able to be available when things change.
Yep.
Kids, either they're sick or my wife has something change and I can just leave work kind of whenever I want. And I compare that to thinking about how most employers do not provide the type of flexibility that I currently have. And I would probably be fired by now, based on how much time I've taken away or needed to be at home trying to work with my child crawling on me. And it's definitely it's not a secret, but it's just, you don't realize it until I feel like I'm always apologizing to Ricky, like, yeah, I gotta leave now. Like, I know I didn't get anything done you needed me to today. And I, flip it around, and I think I would like to be as flexible to him or other people and try to be, but it's also hard to imagine the constant changes that I take it for advantage of.
Yeah, I've tried to get over that sense of guilt a little bit in the last year, because I used to have that. I feel like, feeling bad about leaving, disappearing to pick up the kids and stuff, but I just, I've been better at sort of reconciling that's okay, and it's my business and it needs to work for me. And if I have a moment of feeling like I have to justify it, it's like, yeah, I spend a lot of time working every evening and weekends. And, I am on the clock a lot. And so if I get to work again late because I've got to take my kid to school, then that's okay.
Yeah,
make it work for you. So, that's partly an improvement on my part. It's also just partly having a better aligned staff culture of being on the same page. And, I've got, there's four of us, three of us have young children, and that flexibility is shared, and shared and understood. Like, if Ben needs to do a kid drop off or go to, you know, you ran out the door yesterday early to get to go to a parent-teacher meeting, and like, and I know he'll be back to make up the hours later, and like, there's a high level of trust, and it's just, it's nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think the same. It's like, haven't had employees with kids, but it definitely is eye opening. And, you know, trying to like write a handbook or a policy book of how you should comport yourself or act. And I definitely feel like, you know, I think I will hopefully have even more leniency than I thought I would about these type of things. Like, I've never been, like, the worst case has happened in the past where it's like people fall asleep at work or aren't performing well, and that I find way more offensive than then you need to go do something with your family and they're a responsible employee otherwise, you know, like, literally beside me in the same office. Like, I think we need to be working on our sleep hygiene or something. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. Cool.
Have you ever played, this is not on the list, have you ever played like SimCity or like the newer version is called City Skylines?
No, I haven't played any new games, but yeah, go on.
I mean, this is like 10 years old, so a friend was messaging me about how they got into Cities Skylines, I think, or City Skylines. And it's a lesser version, honestly, than the original SimCity games. But I owned it, and I had not installed it on my computer for a very long time, and they were mentioning it. And I was like, yeah, that does sound fun. So, like, last Friday night, I installed it. And it works on Macs, which is also great. And, oh, my God, I think I played till 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Just locked in, improving freeways and bus express lanes, and
that's hilarious.
Standardizing a city. Oh my god! If they made shop organization version of this, would I ever stop?
Well, you should go and play Factorio then, because that's,
I think I have
close. I play close to shop. Factorio is
my brother.
The last game I got sort of into and briefly addicted to, and it's wonderful. Very, very enjoyable. I think you're sort of colonizing a planet and building like industrial networks and systems.
Wastelands,
I played
Satisfactory with my brother, and he is a software-ish designer. And it's really wild to be like, we're working on, it's a 3D kind of like first player version of this. On like, you're like a dude in a space suit, and you're building, it's the same concept. You're building like, you're pillaging the land for its resources and creating this like production facility. So you have to mine and get power and run conveyor belts and stuff. And it is really, really wild to watch him start to use language like we use in like production for CNC machines. And I'm like, dude, this is like, I'm working my day job playing this game.
Awesome.
It's like, it's just really not efficient. We need to really work on these, like these conveyor belt lines that they're taking too long to get between. Yeah, basically, yeah, right. And I'm like, it's so weird to hear you talk about this.
Awesome. Come in.
Gaming.
We'll have headsets in no time.
Oh, I have headsets, yeah. I actually use my podcast mic when I play.
Of course you do. Of course.
Well, I get a new one. Oh, I've got 10 minutes before I have to go pick up my small one, so.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Pack a van.
Mount some racks and pack a van. I'll see you soon.
Yep. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks. Ta-ding.